The real story was not the United States senators who worked out a last-minute compromise on the federal judge nominees, nor was it the ailing Supreme Court justice who was wheeled into the Capitol Medical Center the same day for treatment for his cancer. The real story is the battle to shape America's social and cultural agenda for years to come. You're listening to Longitude. It's Wednesday, May 25th, 2005. I'm Darris McNeely. President George Bush's nominees to fill federal court positions have been held up for months. Democrats had threatened to filibuster Senate debate in order to keep the Republican majority from approving the nominations. The Republican majority leader had threatened to do away with the filibuster and push for an up or down vote. This would have altered a long-standing Senate procedure but was within the rules of the House. Instead, a group of Republican and Democratic senators got together and agreed to a compromise that allowed the judicial nominees to be approved. Democrats hold the option to filibuster in extraordinary circumstances. Beyond the constitutional role of the Senate to advise and consent on presidential nominations is a larger issue in a democracy over who will set the beliefs and practice of society on issues of morality and social justice. Will the elected lawmakers at either the state or federal level pass legislation that regulates societal behavior? Or will the courts decide by overruling and declaring unconstitutional laws passed by legislatures? Recent years have seen an increasing number of decisions by the courts in cases involving major social issues. This is not something new. It has been going on since 1803, when the Supreme Court ruled that it was not bound by congressional acts that it felt were unconstitutional. In 1857, the court ruled in a case dealing with slavery. Dred Scott was a black slave who said he should be free after living in a free state for 7 years. The court said no and ruled in favor of the slaveholder. The court did not rule on the moral issue of slavery, but on the property rights of a citizen during a turbulent social and political period. This issue had to be resolved in the crucible of civil war. In 1973, the most controversial decision of recent years was in the case of dealing with abortion. Roe v. Wade acknowledged the right to personal privacy for women in the matter of abortion. Abortion is an implied constitutional right, according to that decision. This type of interpretation is considered wrong by those who hold such actions was not the intent of the original framers of the Constitution. Those who believe it was feel the Constitution should be viewed as an evolving document that grows to meet the changing beliefs of society. Two more recent cases have drawn the line deeper in the sand between the opposing sides. In 2003, the Supreme Court overturned a Texas law that prohibited private, consensual homosexual acts. Many felt the court abandoned its role as a neutral observer in the culture wars. And in 2005, the court said it was unconstitutional to apply the death penalty to people who were under the age of 18 when their crime were committed. The court cited, quote, evolving standards of decency and looked at the laws of other countries to make this judgment. All these major Supreme Court decisions, along with many others made by federal courts, are determining the social behavior and framework of the nation. Some say the social fabric of America is being destroyed by a threat larger than that posed by any terrorist group such as Al-Qaeda. America's social landscape is being reshaped. The big battle will come later this year when President Bush will likely have the chance to nominate a new Supreme Court justice. The current Chief Justice, William Rehnquist, is battling cancer and is expected to step down when the court's current term ends this summer. President Bush will no doubt nominate a judge who holds to a conservative interpretation of the Constitution, while opponents will want to see a justice with more of an activist bent. People on all sides understand that the most far-reaching decisions and therefore the most powerful are being made by judges. The crucial battles in our ongoing culture wars are being fought in the courts. God said through the prophet Amos that his people had despised his law and not kept the commandments. He said, "Justice is turned to wormwood and righteousness buried in the earth." At that time, men did not want to hear the hard words of truth by those who carried the word of God. Israel was full of those who by greed did not fairly consider the poor. Sin and unrighteous conduct had dulled the wisdom of leaders to enact sound legislation based on God's law. The end result was injustice. It could not be found in the places of justice, or as Amos puts it, the gate. Today we see the highest judges of the land cannot discern good from evil. They rule that abortion, the taking of unborn life, is a right guaranteed by human law. Millions of unborn fetuses have been legally murdered since the Roe v. Wade decision of 1973. History shows that no nation that engages in such infanticide will long endure. Its moral ballast is gone. Those who uphold or equivocate on this issue have abandoned the sure and righteous paths of life. Decisions that condone immoral behavior, behavior that is explicitly condemned by the Bible, and hasten its public acceptance bring shame upon our nation. Those who sit in the gate, the place of judgment, and cannot rule righteously based on God's eternal law, are shown to be blind and incapable of understanding good from evil. We are a long way from a time of justice running down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream in our land. But you can learn of the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and their value to living a godly way of life. We have a booklet entitled The Ten Commandments. It's on our website. You can access it through WNPOnline.org. This booklet will take you through each of the Ten Commandments, God's eternal law, and show you how they apply to your life today. You can have righteousness run down like a stream in your life. You can make a difference there. I urge you and encourage you to begin to read that booklet and grasp the ability to discern good from evil in our land today. That's all for today. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.